on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. It's the 11th hour. 814-946-0435. 946-0435. And we have a guest today who is a local author, done a few things with some book fairs and events in the past. And now he's got a book of his own. They came from Blair County, and we have with us author Eric Shields. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. And we should say, just at the start of this, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but you're going to be at two different book signings this weekend, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. The one that I know is this Saturday is Spring Into Books Book Festival in Bedford. That's downtown 110 West Pitt Street. You can do that from 10 until 4, and you also have some friends with you. And you're also going to be Sunday, you just told me, in Roaring Spring at the Family Fun Day that's going on there at Shawnee State Park.
That's correct.
All right. What time is the Sunday one?
It's also from 10 to 4.
Okay, and we'll talk about some of the people that you may have with you, some of them which are in this particular book here.
That's correct.
What made you interested in writing it?
Well, I've always been interested in the whole idea of celebrity. I collect autographs, big television and movie fan growing up. And one day I was going on the web and looking at Wikipedia, and I saw how many notable people were coming from Blair County. Okay, they may not be famous, but they've done notable things to make them stand out. And I thought a little bit more about it, and I went to high school with a couple of future NBA players, a Hollywood director, I'm sorry, Hollywood producer. Mm-hmm. And I worked at TV 10, years ago, and I worked with people that have gone on to big things there. You know, of course, David Venable, and who went on to QVC. One of the news producers is now a producer for the Today Show, and she was from Hollidaysburg. So I started putting all this together, thinking if I know that many people myself that are from the area and have done notable things, can you imagine how many people there really are?
Yeah.
And I found that there's hundreds of people that have come from the area.
Well, just a second here before we get too far past it. When you say you worked at TV 10, what is it? You were behind the scenes?
I was a news photographer.
News photographer.
Yes.
Okay. Videographer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of the times they have to do their own videography these days. They send them out with a camera and say, it's up to you, because unfortunately, like a lot of parts of broadcasting or whatever, they've downsized a bit over the years. Of course, the equipment has also gotten easier to handle, but still.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
I would posit that it's great to have somebody to do that for you, but then again, that's the way of the world, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just by being there, you met those people. You mentioned all the others. When you started doing the research, and I'd say Wikipedia is dangerous in itself, but at least it can tell you, okay, who's from your area.
Yes.
When did you start? Well, I guess, did you just start counting and then say, wait a minute, there's enough here to fill a book. Wait a minute.
Well, yeah. I mean, years ago, I've also collected articles out of the newspaper. You know, the Altoona Mirror does articles, catching up with so-and-so. And there are people from the area that have done things. I was also captivated by the number of people that they've concentrated on. And I thought, well, if they're writing about it, why can't I write about it as well? And so I started reaching out to the people that I knew, offhand, and start connecting with them and doing interviews with them. And then I started to go beyond what I knew and reach out to, people that I've not been in contact with before, and kind of expanded my horizons, if you will, to include a little bit of everybody, not just my interests, mm-hmm. But everybody's interests.
Yeah, I just counted here on the in the contents, you've got about 30 people in here.
31 people in the first book, yes.
Yeah, and you mentioned, and Dr. John alluded to, maybe there'll be one in the future, but you have as well, because you've got other people listed in the back that you didn't get to in this book, and there's probably others in addition to everybody you've come up with here.
That's correct.
I mean, when you were doing the book, did you have people say, oh, you're talking to somebody, hey, listen, the person you really ought to talk to is
fill in the blank?
How often did that happen, and who suggested whom?
Well, I'll give you an idea. I'll tell you how it happened was that I started this, again, just with the people that I knew, and I started publishing articles on my website and promoting them on Facebook. And after about maybe 6 or 7 people that I posted about, I had people emailing me saying, listen, you really need to do an article on this person or that person, you know. And so most of my interviews now come from people that others have suggested. Mm-hmm. You know, I do very little, you know, thinking on my own at this point to come up with somebody, because yeah, you know, everybody's given me this person and that person, so I just contact them and do interviews with them and write their story.
So you got a whole bunch of people on the to talk to list someday.
Yes, that's basically it.
From the time you got the idea for the book till it being actually published in physical form, Dead Trees edition here, how long did that take?
Well, I started writing articles back in 2017, but I didn't really start going gangbusters maybe until about a year later. So all in all, if you're looking at from 2017, and this was published in December 2020, you're looking at about 3 years. But now, right now with the second book that's hopefully coming out by the end of the year, you know, it would be a year's turnaround time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And before we get to the first break, I know people are saying you're talking about the mechanics of the book and all this, but I find it fascinating because here's the thing. Everybody at one time or another said, you know, I could write a book about fill in the blank, and 99.44% of us don't do it. You did.
Yeah.
Because you're already starting to write about it. You've got the Facebook page. They came from Blair County as well.
That's correct.
Which we can put a link to on ours a little bit later here. What was the thing that finally pushed you? Was there one particular person? Wait, I've got to get this into the book, so this is going to make me start the book. One particular person out of all of them. I'm not asking for necessarily a favorite, but just one you thought, this is the most compelling story you know.
Well, wow, that's a tough one, because everybody's been interesting in their own way. I talked to Janet Blair's son, Andrew Mayo, out in California. He had some stories to tell about his mother, you know, some, you know, her life in Hollywood, and, you know, how her life would have been different if she would have succumbed to the casting couch. You know,
how the career would have been different as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But in the book, you talk about how he said, since she wasn't willing to play along with the games, and well, this is the way it's done. She had standards, and she wasn't going to lower herself to their standards. So yeah, she could. She's very famous. I mean, I don't know how many people say under the age of 40 or 30 would know Janet Blair.
Yeah,
but at one time, very famous actress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did some TV, did stage, did movies, but she wasn't the career of like, well, her co-star Rosalind Russell. Then mm-hmm. again, that's another name that, unless you're into old movies, maybe you don't know as what. But in other words, she didn't want to go out to become famous for the sake of becoming famous. She wanted to work and do good stuff, and she also had some standards in what she was doing. But even with the when you were saying that her son was telling stories, it's not just about what she didn't do. It's about all the good stuff she got to do.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fascinating in the book. Talk about some of that. And she had certain frustrations about the career, but that was also for wanting to do quality work and having fun.
Yes. Well, she was, for her role on Broadway, she played the she holds the record for the longest performance of one character on Broadway, which amounts to about 3 years.
This date, she still holds it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's still to this day. Yes, so she actually played the same character for the equivalent of 3 years on stage. You know, and I found that very fascinating,
especially when you do maybe. On weekends, you do matinees, you're doing 2 a day, and the rest of the week, you're doing at least one.
Yes.
So that's, you know, people will look at something like a Cal Ripken Jr. It's like, well, he played more consecutive games. It's like, well, yes, that's great over a career, and that's an achievement. But as far as acting on stage, it's not just, okay, I'll go out and not break a sweat. It takes a, it's work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And and a little anecdote that he told me was that she had worked with Sid Caesar on his show. I believe it was the Sid Caesar show.
It was your show of shows or Caesar's Hour, yeah. Various names.
Yeah, and she played his third wife. And whenever Andrew was out, he lives out in California, and he was out several years ago at a flea market or antique show or something like that, something of that nature. And he saw an elderly gentleman that looked very much like Sid Caesar, okay? And he, in fact, he was 99.9% sure it was Sid Caesar. So he went up to him and he said, you know, introduced himself, Mr. Caesar, this is, you know, my mom was Janet Blair. You know, you worked with her whenever. And he denied being Sid Caesar. But Andrew was pretty sure it was him. But he was in not good shape. Oh. As far as medically wise and stuff like that, he had a nurse with him. Mm-hmm. So Andrew thought that maybe he just didn't want to be recognized, you know, at that point in time. You know, but he went rounds with him, insisting that this was Sid Caesar and you worked with my mom, and he kept denying it.
You have to wonder, was it or wasn't it? Obviously, Andrew was convinced it was.
Yes.
Sid was a difficult guy at times, and also he had some very serious health problems toward the end of his career, unfortunately. So she was Emma Jean Coca had left the show by then, and she was sort of one of a series of people that came in to supposedly take her place. But again, from what Andrew says in the book, she was a little disappointed in how little she got to do in reality.
Yes, that's true. That's true. She felt like she was playing second banana all the time.
Well, yeah. So did Emma Jean Coca, which is probably why she went on to do other things.
Yeah.
But, yeah. She was later on a TV series, which I think was notable to a lot of people at the time because, oh, there's Opie before he became Richie Cunningham. Yeah. Ron Howard was her son on the TV show.
And Henry Fonda was her husband.
Yeah.
The Smith family.
And I remember the show, and I honestly didn't remember that it was Janet Blair who played his wife on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen the show.
It was not a huge success. It was, I don't know, I think it was, the problem was you had a whole bunch of people who were very indelible in people's minds, and then they were off playing other characters. So that and also it was tough competition where they kept putting the thing.
Yeah,
but she had a long career, though. If you imagine going from the movies to the stage to TV, it's a lot of people who had been bigger stars in the movies ended up doing TV and lesser things. She seemed to have more success. Would you say the stage was the biggest success?
I would say so. Yes,
and that's the most ephemeral, unfortunately, because if you weren't there, you didn't see it.
Yes, yeah, I would say that the stage is the biggest success. She didn't, you know, she also was a singer to start out with. You know, she even released her own record album as well. And but she, you know, she started with, I can't think of the name of the orchestra, but that's how she got discovered.
And, you know, it's funny because she's on YouTube. You can find some of the stuff there. And I looked it up and I was pleasantly surprised because she had more of a, I don't know, theatrical presentation, but a very nice voice. So you'd think she would have been more successful in some of the endeavors. But I'm trying to remember. Wayne Kemp, was it? She started with it. You wrote the book. I'll feel much better on that. Before we go to break here, the thing is that her son said she always enjoyed coming back home to Altoona. She was warmly welcomed. Her family was already of some note here before she became famous.
Yes, they owned Lafferty Trucking, I believe it was.
Yeah, and her grandfather was a judge.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but it was, I don't know, it's just interesting to hear somebody who didn't mind coming back to their roots, and the people didn't mind her doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew said she felt like a queen. You know, they gave her parades, they gave her the key to the city. You know, there was always big crowds to greet her when she came home. You know, it's what's not to like about that, you know.
The thing I wonder is now, we have so many reality shows where eventually, and you mentioned some of the people in the book have been on those reality shows. Mm-hmm. We have so many where they're just going out and trying to find as many people. It's like it's almost talent, or people are viewed as cannon fodder by all these shows to try to just throw them against the wall, see if somebody sticks. Maybe you get a Carrie Underwood, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. And I guess what fame used to be, fame was fame in capital letters. Now fame is more or less, I've got a YouTube channel. And it's not it's not quite the same thing. I don't know if people realize that through the generations.
Well, it's almost like I'm sure you heard the Andy Warhol saying, you know, that everyone has their 15 minutes of fame. That's what I think we're at right now, because, you know, it may not even be 15 minutes. It may only be 5 minutes, but everybody's out to get that little bit of fame.
Notoriety and fame are not the same thing, though, are they?
No.
We're talking with Eric Shields. The book is They Came from Blair County. There's about 31 people in the book, and I promise you we will talk about more of them when we continue on the 11th Hour.
Get on board. 946-0435. Your calls are next on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
If you haven't seen Mitsubishi lately, then you haven't seen Mitsubishi. Introducing the stunningly innovative new 2022 Eclipse Cross. With a sleek exterior and smart interior, the Eclipse Cross has a bold and sporty look with the roominess and utility of an SUV. All powered by Mitsubishi's exclusive Super All-Wheel Control System. Take one out at 5-star Mitsubishi Altoona. No one stocks more, no one sells for less. It's high style without the high price. Don't run with the pack. Set your own course, because you know where you're going. Now get there in the new 2022 Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, backed by an extensive 10-year powertrain limited warranty. Get style, get safety, get performance, and get the lowest price at 5-star Mitsubishi Altoona.
5-star Mitsubishi Altoona. It doesn't get better than this.
Super All-Wheel Control is an available feature on all trim levels. See dealer for all price and warranty terms and conditions.
Good things are happening in Hollidaysburg. Enjoy the music of national recording artist Tracy Allen at Liberty Hall and the U.S. Hotel from 7 to 10 p.m. Friday, April 30th. Then on Sunday, May 2nd, for brides-to-be, it's Wedding Secrets Unveiled. The first session will take place from noon to 2 p.m. The second session will be from 2:30 to 4:30. Local vendors will be on hand to help you plan your dream wedding. Also coming up in May, a local favorite, the Farmers Market returns to Hollidaysburg. And don't forget about Third in the Burg. It happens on the third Friday of every month. Hollidaysburg businesses will stay open later and offer fantastic deals and discounts. All these exciting upcoming events are brought to you by Stuckey Automotive, the U.S. Hotel, Prime Sirloin Buffet, Beer Bauer Jewelers, Michelle Barnes Optometry, Coldwell Banker Town and Country Real Estate, Bob Pennington, broker owner, JP Mortgage Lending, Keller Engineers, and Holiday Pools and Spas. Keep listening for details on more great events. Visit the Blair County seat this summer and see what Hollidaysburg has to offer.
For the most up-to-date news, depend on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
Somebody I'm longing to see, I hope that he turns out to be someone who watch over me.
That is Janet Blair. It's Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA, the 11th hour. We have with us Eric Shields, who is the author of They Came from Blair County. And there's a lot of people in here. I didn't want to just name check everybody, but talk about some of the other people that are here. Fred J. Lauver does the foreword of the book. Who is he?
He is an author. Right now he's based out of Harrisburg, but he grew up in Altoona. He is an author and an actor. He actually performed on stage with Jean Stapleton from All in the Family. Her and her husband performed at a theater down around the Harrisburg area, and they performed there quite regularly. And he got to perform with her during one of her performances.
And he's done a couple of books, like you said.
Yes, he's done books, and he's also had bit parts in various movies from the late 80s up until early 2000s. He did any movie that was shot in the Harrisburg area. He was probably somehow a part of it, you know, just doing minor roles and things like that. You know, mostly extra stuff, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Yeah, it's. I see him from time to time on Facebook talking about something involving show business or other events in the state. So it's kind of interesting to put some background with some of the people that you may see, or that if you're friends with anybody in this area on Facebook, you may eventually see a lot of the people that are in your book.
Yes.
If you don't know them already. Why did you ask him to do the foreword?
Well, we had shared, we kind of shared the same interest. Whenever he got started in writing, and even before he started in the theater and in movies, he wrote for an entertainment magazine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he kind of was doing what I wanted to do and what I wanted to write about. And we had talked a little bit, and I just felt that he had a good idea of what I wanted with my book. Okay, after we talked and I described everything to him, what I was looking to do, and I thought it was a good connection. I didn't know him previous to him writing the foreword. I just connected with him on Facebook, and I just thought we had a good connection and asked him to do it.
So since he had been in part an inspiration, and what he had been doing had been.
Yes.
That's a good way to make a connection, though, because if you have the genuine interest as opposed to, I just need a name to do this.
Yeah.
No, you need somebody that fits into the deal and is willing to do that for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the people I wanted to make mention of before we run out of time, and I know we've still got the rest of the show, but I'm talking about the mechanics of the book. I want to talk about some more of the people. Denny Huber.
Yes, Denny.
He did so much as far as entertainment in the area, and I don't know. It's just like, oh, yeah, he's always at this event or that event. But he also encouraged a lot of people in their path to doing this. And he just, I was not a close personal friend or anything. I met him a few times at events. I got the feeling he had a lot of fun.
He did. He was an awesome man, and he is dearly missed. He loved what he did. He loved the people he worked with. He loved kids. He never had any kids of his own. So I know Tiffany Russo, who was also in the book, she told me one time that he told her that all the kids were his kids, okay? And that's just how he felt. He felt that, you know, they were his and they were special to him, you know? There will never be another Denny Huber, never.
It's just strange trying to explain, because he used to do, Huey the Clown, and he became a more down-to-earth but not less colorful persona as an entertainer on his own, without the original artifice of all that. But he did a little bit of everything. If you had to describe what he did, it's like, well, he did. And he did that too.
Yes. Yeah. He was Huey the Clown. He did balloon. Art. Yeah, he was a musician, very talented singer. You know, his voice was out of this world. You know, it's just no real words to pinpoint. You can't really pinpoint an exact word to describe Denny. Just an awesome, very kind, very loving man.
Yeah, but what you mentioned, Ms. Russo, who, you know, was a kid when she started mm-hmm. doing some of his talent shows, and there was a whole generation involved in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, right now, there is, out of the this first book and out of the second book that I'm writing now, I bet you there's half a dozen people that have credited Denny Huber for helping them to get their start that I've talked to out of about 40 people. So, you know, half a dozen out of 40 people told me, yeah, Denny got me started in this. Denny helped me do that. Denny helped me do that. You know, he had a big influence on everybody.
I remember going to one of the shows one year, and it's like, okay, everybody gets up and does whatever the thing. It's like, hey, kids, let's put on a show. And it was very low-tech and simple, but at the same time, people are getting get on stage that maybe never would have actually tried it if somebody hadn't provided that stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to provide them with the opportunity to do that.
And it's not like, well, you know, you can go on and you can volunteer to work with ACT or you can try this or you can try that. Yeah, but this was more or less, no, you have to come up with your little act and what you are interested in doing as opposed to trying to play a part or do something else.
That's correct.
Which was the, I think the advantage of what that was.
Yes.
Not that I would have any abilities to get up on stage and do it, but it was cool to see other people do it.
Well, and the thing was, if there was a child that thought they had the ability, but they really did not, he did not differentiate. You know, they were all golden voices in his eye.
Yeah, this was not the Gong Show for those that never went.
No.
Some people might have been tempted to say, but it's like, no, everybody gets a chance and you strike gold every couple of shows, if not every couple of acts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the folks in the book. They came from Blair County. We're talking with Eric Shields. We'll remind you he's got two book signings this weekend. We'll tell you more about those when we continue on the 11th hour. We have with us Eric Shields. He's the author of They Came from Blair County. And before we get too far into this again, we want to remind people you've got a couple of book signings this weekend. On Sunday at Roaring Spring, you're going to be at Shawnee.
Yes.
And this is Family Fun Day. And what time are you there?
I'll be there all day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
10 to 4 on that.
Yes.
And also Spring Into Books is a book festival in downtown Bedford.
Yes, 110 West Pitt Street, Bedford. It's behind the pizza shop that's on the main street. It's in the same building.
Okay, so there are a bunch of authors there along with you?
Yes, there'll be about 10 or 11 authors.
All right. And you're there from, what, 10 to 4?
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., yes.
All right. And you'll have a couple of guests who are in the book. Talk about them a little bit.
Yes. My VIP guest for the day will be Eleni Arthur. She's from Altoona. She is a country singer, okay? If you have not heard her sing.
Very young lady.
Okay, she's in her 20s.
Oh, well, all right. Well, she started when she was younger.
She started very young, yes.
Yeah.
Her voice is like an angel. You know, if you don't like country music before you hear her sing, you will after you hear her sing. You know, that was actually a quote that a record producer that saw her sing had told her. He said that, you know, for those that have not heard you sing, you know, they're going to be country music fans afterwards.
She's gotten to Nashville and met some interesting people too.
Yes, she has met with Patsy Cline's daughter, along with some other executives and stuff from Nashville. She's performed on the famous stages of Nashville, Tootsie's and Nashville Palace and places like that. Her new release that was released last year won her an award in Holland. I think it was a Red Carpet Award or something like that.
I was going to say they give her a Golden Tulip or something, but I have no idea what they do in Holland.
I think it was called Red Carpet Award or something of that nature that she won for her new song. And I think she was supposed to go over to receive the award, but she did not make it, I believe, because of COVID.
Because of everything else that didn't happen in 2020.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely. Well, hopefully she gets a chance to do that in the future.
Yes.
So she's going to be there, and Tiffany Russo, who we mentioned before.
Yes, Tiffany Russo. She was with me this past weekend in Johnstown as well. But she'll be there promoting her organization, her nonprofit. Let me see if I can get this right. Bookworms Against Bullies. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect for a book signing then.
Yes. So she'll be handing out a bunch of free stuff to promote that organization as well. And she has done, she's a model, and she has actually walked the runway in New York's Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is
not everybody gets to do.
Yeah.
We should point out. Oh, you're a model. You must have done this. No, that's not the way it works.
Yes, so that's a pretty big deal.
From what she says in the book, she seems to. It's like, yeah, New York City's fine, but
she
has an affinity for home too.
Yes, she classifies herself as a big city girl. Or no, as a big city girl living in small town USA. Yeah, that's pretty much what she calls herself.
And you've probably seen her at a bunch of charity events over the years around here. If you've gone to any of them, you'll run into her from time to time.
Yes.
And, yes. So they'll both be with you this coming, this is at the Spring Into Books Book Festival in Bedford, 110 West Pitt Street, Suite 2. And Eleni Arthur and Tiffany Russo will be with our guest Eric Shields there. And you'll be solo at the one in Roaring Spring on Sunday.
That's correct, yes.
But you got all the books, you can sign them and all that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Some of the other people that we wanted to talk about, I guess. Those were two of them. Marissa Bertani, I don't know personally, but it's interesting that I'd seen her on a commercial and not realize, hey, she's from Altoona, because after reading something on your Facebook page before the Dead Trees version of the book was out, I was visiting friends last year and we're in New York and there a commercial comes on TV. Hey, she's from Altoona. And they're like, yes, so are you. So, but yeah, why ain't it in the TV commercial, okay? So that was pretty cool because it was a commercial that was being shown like every 5 minutes at the particular time.
Okay. Yeah. I know she got her start like a lot of the actors that have come from Altoona by going through ACT. She performed in a lot of programs with Altoona Community Theater. She also said that her first experience with the commercial end of things was whenever she went to work with her father. Her father worked for Wolf's Furniture, and he was in charge of shooting the commercials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she would go with him to these commercial shoots. And she said the bright lights and the heat radiating from the lights, she just fell in love with it. And
most people don't fall in love with the heat radiating from the lights, but the brightness, yeah.
Yeah, so so she was kind of bitten by the bug, and she right now I know she's done mostly commercial work, and she's done a few bit parts, independent films and stuff like that as well.
It takes time to even if you're going to have a quiet career. It takes time to build that because they don't just hand those things out.
That's true.
You got to get to the right place. Be seen by the right people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just because you're from the thing that strikes me in the book here is, and I was going to say something that would probably sound flippant, but the thing that most of the people talk about is, and that you talk about, everybody is from somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you say, well, I'm from Altoona, so I can't accomplish anything. Well, with that attitude, you won't.
Yes.
None of these people had that attitude.
That's right. And there's two common things whenever I talk to every single one of these people. You know, that attitude that you're talking about, you know, that, you know, you can't let where you're from define who you are. You know, so if you're from small town Pennsylvania, you know, go out and, you know, move to Pittsburgh, move to New York.
Yeah, you may have to. Well, that's the other thing. A lot of the people that are in the book also had to go somewhere else to gain whatever notoriety they have.
Yeah.
Yes. Because not everybody can just, all right, you can't be world famous and necessarily be parked somewhere where that work isn't.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And the other thing that was common whenever I talked to everybody was, if you want to do something, do it. You don't let anyone stop you. Okay. If you have goals to reach, you know, go for it. Okay. Don't let someone talk you out of it by saying, you know, you can't do that, you can't do this, you know, you're from here, you can, you know, you can't go anywhere. You know, just disregard everything that they say and go for it and work hard and don't give up. You know, sometimes the one, I forget who it was that told me, but you got to fail your way to the top.
Okay, I think that's in the book somewhere from one of them.
I think
fail your way to the top.
In fact, I think that might have been Wade Chalice that told me that.
Okay,
but you got to fade your way to the fail your way to the top.
Since we haven't brought up sports figures, and I know some people would say talk about some of those. Okay, Mr. Chalice.
Well, Wade Chalice was a very well known and accomplished wrestler for Hollidaysburg, and he. Still, I think holds quite a few records in that area. I know he told me that whenever he was training at the Y, that he thought he was going into high school. He just came off of a big season wrestling in junior high, and he met this new trainer at the Y, and he. Had this attitude about himself that he was hot stuff, okay? Well, he went in and shot his mouth off to the trainer, okay? And the trainer put him in his place. And
Several times.
And he went back for more, because he realized that this guy was trying to help him instead of hurt him. He thought at first that this guy was picking on him, you know, by, you know, pinning him and you know, he gave him a bloody nose. He had blood, you know, Wade Chalice had blood coming out of his mouth, you know, because this guy was beating up on him. And, at first, he thought that he was trying to put him down, but then he realized after time that
this
he
was a guy who was teaching
him
something.
And teaching him how to be a better wrestler. And I know that I don't remember if he said he's still friends with him to this day, but their friendship lasted, you know, quite a while. I do know that.
The idea being that. This was a guy he could learn something from.
Yes.
And the guy was willing to teach him, but he was going to, you know, you had to have the natural ability. It's not like the gentleman was, you know, just somebody that this guy could mold into something. He had the ability, but the older gentleman recognized it. And it's like he may have had to do some tough love, literally, but it got through to him and it made him as successful as he became.
Yes.
He had to do the work, though.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
exactly.
Although that's not like a parallel story to everybody in the book, there are more than a few people there who realized, you know, they had to put themselves through doing the paces of what they wanted to do to get to where they wanted to be. And some of them, it seems like, stumble into things. You brought up the one gentleman, Mark Whitey Cooper, who I read about, and you had to remind me who that was. Explain who that was.
Okay. He had two claims to fame. The one claim to fame was that he was the white shirt zombie in George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. He was shot, quote unquote,
In the movie. Yeah.
And had blood capsules coming out of his hair, okay, which he said were like grenades going off in his ears whenever they put them off.
They used to wire squibs, or they can now do a remote control where it's like it makes them pop when they need to on camera.
Yep. And that was his one claim to fame. And then the other claim to fame was that he was a drummer for Norman Nardini and the Tigers, which was a pretty... I don't know how famous they were, but they were a pretty decent band back in the 80s that whenever they, at the beginning of their career, actually at the beginning of Bon Jovi's career, Bon Jovi was opening up for them.
Hmm.
Okay. That's how big they were at one point. Okay. But then that quickly turned around.
So there's the fame when we're talking about a Janet Blair or Mike Reed, and then there's the... fame of white t-shirt guy. So it comes in all varieties. We'll continue with Eric Shields here. They Came from Blair County is the book, first of several. We'll talk about it in the final segment here on the 11th Hour.
The opinions you hear on WRTA are the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or advertisers.
Need money? Dean Patterson needs your car. Patterson Automotive is looking for cars up to 6 years old with no more than 60,000 to 65,000 miles. Take it to Dean Patterson to sell or trade. While you're there, check out the quality vehicles. Chevy, Mazda, Hyundai, Cadillac. Great vehicles, great deals. At Dean Patterson, price is the easiest part of their job. From service to sales, you're our Patterson priority. If your car is up to 6 years old with mileage of no more than 60 to 65,000, take it to Dean Patterson to sell or trade. Patterson Automotive, 101 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Champion Roofing, home on the lifetime warranty. Residential and commercial, call for a free estimate today. 814-414-8183. Metal, shingle, and flat roofs. 814-414-8183. Champion Roofing.
Champion Roofing. The champs. Champion Roofing. We're the solution. Champion Roofing, we're the solution.
You can count on the roofing pros. Our roots run deep and our integrity shows. Proud to serve you, we love what we do. With Champion's unbeatable warranties too.
Champion, Champion Roofing, the champs. Champion Roofing, we're the solution.
This week's Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week is first grader John Wasco. John's a second-year wrestler, recently placing second at the Pennsylvania Future Stars Tournament for all of Western PA. Great job, John. You're definitely a future star. If you'd like to nominate a Youth Sports Star of the Week, go to LeitnerCommunications.com and click on the banner or call 814-943-6112 weekdays 9 to 5. It's the Appalachian Running Company Youth Sports Star of the Week with special thanks to Shields Trophy. Union Avenue, Altoona.
On your computer, on your phone, on AM radio, and now on FM radio. Central PA's first FM talk station. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
We have just a few minutes left here, and there's a couple more things we wanted to get in talking with Eric Shields. They Came from Blair County as a book. Some other folks that you mentioned in it, Gospel Sounds Duet, Steve and April Caldwell. They're going to be at Abundance Grace Church, 514 to 516 Pine Street in Hollidaysburg. This coming Saturday, this is at, I believe, 5 o'clock, and it's a free will offering, so don't be cheap. Give them something there.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Well, talk about them a bit.
Sure. They are good friends of mine. I've known them for probably 25 years, and they've traveled nationally as national Christian music artists. They perform anywhere from, you know, it's mostly on the East Coast, from Florida through New York, you know, they've been traveling full-time for about 15 years, I guess, and they sing a variety of Christian music, anything from Southern gospel to contemporary to your old, you know, old standby, you know, favorites. You know, so they do a variety, you know, depending on what the church wants. But yeah, they performed with, you know, the different crusades that have come to Pittsburgh and stuff like that. You know, Jack Van Impe crusades and Billy Graham crusades. You know, they performed in their productions as well.
Mm-hmm. So again, they're going to be at Gospel Sounds Duet. It's going to be at Abundant Grace Church, Pine Street in Hollidaysburg at 5. Then that's free this coming Saturday. Speaking of Hollidaysburg, Scott Sheehan. More recent addition to the Wall of Fame from Blair County.
Yes. Yes, he was a Grammy-nominated music teacher for Hollidaysburg High School. And if I recall, he was one of my first interviews for the book. So I know that he had said that one of his former students had nominated him, you know, for this award. And he went through the process of, you know, being narrowed down from the top whatever, down to the top 24, then to the top 10, and so forth and so forth. I'm not sure. I don't recall offhand where he ultimately placed that, but he, you know, that was back in 2018, I believe.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah,
I like one of the quotes here. He says, "You have to be willing to put yourself out there and learn what you don't know."
Yes, yes.
That could be applied to so many of the people that are in this book.
That's correct. That's correct.
And there's going to be a second one. Are you're going to do, aside from They Came from Blair County, another edition, are you going to be doing another edition for like Center County, Huntington County?
Well, I'm working on two books right now. They Came from Blair County, Volume 2, and They Came from Bedford County is going to be released in the spring of next year. After that, I will be working on They Came from Cambria County as well. So I'm going to expand into the different counties in the area, yes.
Okay, Eric Shields, They Came from Blair County is the book. I've got a link and some information about this on the website, and we'll put a podcast of this program up later on WRTA.com and on our Facebook page. And Spring Into Books Book Festival, Bedford, this coming Saturday from 10 until 4. That's 110 West Pitt Street in Bedford with Eleni Arthur and Tiffany Russo. And at Roaring Spring Park, or Shawnee Park, I should say, in Roaring Spring, Family Fun Day this coming Sunday. Eric Shields, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.